You're aware of 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now abides faith, hope, love. Those are the three ingredients, the key ingredients for success. It doesn't matter if you want to be healed. It doesn't matter if you need to prosper, if you need finances, if you need wisdom. Those are the three keys that bring what you need to you. Now abides. When something abides, it remains, it continues. Faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Charity is love. Love is the foundation of all we have, all we are, and all we receive from heaven, for God so loved the world. The little word so is essential to our existence. We say, I'm so tired. That makes me so mad. I ate so much. That was so long. You've gotten so tall. He is so big. I am so mad. We have to have the word so. It expresses the extent, it stretches a word to its fullest extent. And God so loved the world. It's because of his so love that we've been redeemed, that we've been saved, that we've been delivered and set free. We've been rescued. And it's because of his so love that hope and faith function. Faith functions by love because of the love of God and because of the love of God in us flowing through us. And if love is inoperative, then our faith and our hope is thwarted. Now, the ingredient that's least talked about is hope. Look at Hebrews 11:1. And hope is very important. Now, faith is what you believe. And you can believe that Jesus healed you. You can believe he paid for your healing without any hope or expectation at all that it would happen in your life. And without hope, it isn't happening. You've got to have both hope and faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith depends upon hope. Faith rides upon hope. Hope is confident expectation. Confident expectation. Now, we don't use the word hope in that manner. We say, oh, I hope so. Means we don't know for sure. Is Mabel coming? Oh, I hope so. We want Mabel to come. We don't know if she's coming. We have no knowledge, no certainty. Hope on an earthly plane, as the word is used today, it has great instability. But when we're talking about Bible hope, we're talking about a confident expectation. Now, just to make sure I was correct, I looked up the definition of hope in the dictionary. Entertainment of an idea that one may expect what one desires, though seldom implies certainty. Which is what I just said. You have a desire, you have something you long for, but you don't have the certainty. And only in God can we have the certainty of hope. And in the Bible, when it says hope, it says we have the blessed hope of Jesus' return. We know he's coming. It says we have the hope of the resurrection. We know that's going to happen. We have the hope of a resurrected and a glorified body. We know that's going to happen. Hope is always future tense, but it has a solidity, a degree of certainty. If you look up the word expect in Webster's Dictionary, you'll see in that word expect that degree of certainty. And if you look up hope in Greek, it says to expect. And to expect is to long for something, to see something on the horizon, to anticipate something with such a degree of certainty that you're making preparations. Does that remind you of anything? When a woman is carrying a child, we say she's expecting. She's making preparations. She has a degree of certainty. And when you see hope in the scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for, you see a degree of certainty that we don't carry in our English vernacular. It's certain. Hope is certain. It's certain. Hope is your goal. It's the blueprint. If you're going to build a house, you have a blueprint. Wayne did architectural drafting when we were first married just to make extra money. And when you have the blueprint, you don't have the house. But your vision of what you wanted is now put on paper. You have a vision of that. And your hope, your expectancy is beginning to solidify like Jell-O in the refrigerator. And you, but still, though you have the blueprint, you don't have the house. You've got to have the assurance of bank financing. You've got to have the banker believe in you. You've got to have the builder believe in you, and you've got to believe in the builder. So the hope, the anticipation, the expectancy that's in the blueprint has to be coupled with faith in the builder, faith in the bank, or it won't work. Faith and hope always go together. And I don't care what you believe or how loud you talk about it, how much you talk about it, if you don't think it's working in your life, then your faith is inoperative. They go together. Faith is the faith is giving substance, one translates this. Faith is materializing. Faith is bringing to pass what you hope for. Now, once you have the builder and the banks okay, and you have the plan from the architect, then you can stand on that empty lot and see that house. I mean, there's no house there, but you can see that. Your hope and your faith are beginning to materialize. And you know that pretty soon the people laying the foundation are coming, the masons are coming, the roofers are coming, and then the inside is going to begin to take shape. And you have all that in your thinking, all that in your mind, through your hope, your anticipation. When you talk to the architect and you said, I want an old-fashioned house with a center hallway from the front door to the back. You said, who would want that? I would. I don't know what your vision is. When I come in the front door, I want to see all the way out the back door. I want two rooms on this side, two rooms on that side. That's the way they used to build them. That's before they put a bathroom anywhere. So we will definitely work that in. But I would give my vision, what I had in my thinking, to the architect. And we'd begin to visualize that together. But when I go to the Word, I begin to visualize what God has said. My hope begins to materialize. I begin to anticipate this future event with great certainty. Hope has certainty. Expectation is absolute. It's not I hope Mabel's coming. It's I have Mabel's commitment. She's coming. And we have a commitment from Almighty God, and we have a blueprint in the Word. As we begin to read the Word and begin to see that blueprint, we begin to see ourselves healed. And to be healed, you have to see yourself healed. I was at a meeting. This man in a wheelchair, young man, came forward for prayer. She had several people to pray for, a very fine minister that we had heard of and were listening to, enjoying. And she laid hands on several people, and she came to him in the wheelchair, and she said, can you see yourself walking? He said, no, I can't. I don't really see myself ever walking. She wouldn't pray for him. She talked to him about the scripture. She counseled him about the resurrection and the death and healing. But she didn't pray for him to be healed. Why? He's not ready. See, if I see myself sick and getting worse, I'm not ready. I have to have that vision. What paints the vision? The Word of God. Numerous scriptures talk about hope in God. God is the one that gives hope. You know, if it depended on me, I'd have to say, I hope this works for you. It doesn't depend on me. It depends on God and the promises of God. When you get in the scripture, you begin to, your hope begins to crystallize. Hope is your goal or your desire, your architectural blueprint. It's your goal or your desire. Jesus said in Mark, what things soever you desire. Well, where would you get a desire? We're not talking about just an off-the-wall desire, just pick a desire. You know, most people know what colors they like. And you wouldn't just say to your builder, oh, I don't care what color, just paint it any old color. Just pick a color. Well, there's a color that's in season. Every couple of years it changes. Browns were in for a while, and then grays we were in, and then everything was white. Everything on TV is white. If you leave it to them, they're going to paint it what's in season. But if I turn to Almighty God, then I know what picture. He's painting a picture on my heart. He's giving me hope. Hope is the picture, the desire you carry in your heart. And you've got to have a desire that says, I am walking, I am talking, I am without pain. That's hope that God paints. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. And then hope has to take that step further. Now look at Psalms 37. And hope and faith walk together. Hope cannot materialize your healing alone. Faith cannot materialize your healing alone. Faith and hope have to walk together. Hope is your vision. It's what you see. Without a vision, the people perish. Hope is what you see. It's your vision. It's your goal. Now, 37th, we know these verses. Verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord. That means your greatest pleasure is in the Lord and His Word in the house of God. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Grossly misinterpreted over the years. Does not say God will give you anything you ask for. That word is the word to cause. You can look that up in the Hebrew. It says He will cause. He will cause certain desires. In other words, I can depend on God to light the kindle, the fire of my hope, of my anticipation. I can depend upon Him to paint the vision. I've got to have a vision of walking. One lady, I'll tell you how she painted her vision. in her later years, and I believe it was an arthritic condition, she was confined to a wheelchair. And once they prayed for her, every single day she said, oh, I'm so glad I could wait on my husband. She couldn't get up. She didn't do anything. He did everything for her. She said, I'm so glad I can wait on him. I'm so glad I can do my own dishes. Can you imagine that being a goal? See, she's using her words to paint the vision. She's painting hope. And with hope comes that wonderful verse, by whose stripes you, not you, will be. Hope says this will be. That's why hope is insufficient. Hope always is future. It says it will happen. And though that gives momentary relief and release, it's not sufficient for the long run, for the distance. Hope cannot go the distance. It has to be coupled with faith. And faith says it is because Jesus died and by his stripes I was healed. Faith is the substance. Faith is giving substance. Faith is materializing. Once I have my hope and my vision of that house and the plan, and I have the banks okay and the builder is calling in the crew to work, I can begin to, what I hoped for begins to materialize. That's what faith does. It begins to bring to pass what vision you had. Now, it begins on the inside. That's what confuses people. It begins in the spirit, because the Holy Spirit's in your spirit. You're a spirit being living a physical body. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And what the work of God, because God is a spirit, and God's word is spirit, and you are a spirit, the work of God always begins on the inside. That's why in the beginning, you can't tell God's working at all. If it depended upon a physical feeling, you can't tell. How you feel as sick as you ever did. Your knee still hurts. Your head still throbs. Your back hurts. Your sugar level is high. Your triglycerides are out of sight. Your blood pressure is over the moon. You ask your body, are you healed? Is it working? You'd say, no, I hoped it would, but it didn't. But hope is never insecure. Hope has knowledge, and that knowledge comes from God. Hope has stability. Hope is a solid rock, a foundation laid by God, laid by the Word. If you go through the Scripture, and I did that, it talks about hope in God. It talks about hope in Christ. It talks about hope in the Word. That's where the vision comes from. That's where the picture is painted. Now, I have to take that picture and paint it, not that it's working in you. You see it working in other people and you think, isn't that wonderful? And you can see people who believe in healing, who see it working in somebody else, but have no hope that it works in them. You've got to paint a picture. No, I can't paint. The only thing I can draw is a bathtub full of water. You know, I can't draw it. You can tell that. I have no artistic talent at all. When I was in Moscow, they had nothing to write on, so knowing me, they had papered the back wall with poster board. And I wrote all over the wall. It was quite interesting. And when I finished one, she jerked that down and put another piece of paper on there because she wanted them to see. And then today, she's on the computer last year, and I see her drawing the same pictures I drew. And I saw a texture because I'm mean like that. I said, you know those are copyrighted. She didn't believe that, and I didn't say it because I knew she wouldn't believe it. Delight in the Lord. When you're delighted in the Lord, that's your greatest pleasure. It's also the word luxury. Where's your greatest luxury? Huh? It's in the Word. It's in the promise. It's in the commitment of heaven. And since He will give you, He's going to cause certain desires. It's also the word to frame or construct. God is working to frame His vision so that your heart, from your mind to your heart, comes the vision of heaven. Hope is heaven's vision. It's not just your vision. It's heaven's vision painted on the inside of you. And when that vision is painted and you take that vision and couple it with the promise and the sacrifice of Jesus, which already secured your healing, then faith and hope begin to work. And your heart, your spirit at that level on the inside, well, you can't tell that in the beginning. And when a lot of people say, well, it's not working, I'll tell you what a vision I had years ago. The Lord explained this to me. I was walking in a big city, high rises on every side, and there was a intersection in front of me. And I kept looking down in front of me. I'm looking for something, expecting something. I kept looking. It's not there. And finally, I got exhausted, and I said, well, it's not coming. It's not coming. And I sat down on the curb. And about the time I sat down the curb, the thing I was looking for came from this intersection, came across right in front of me and said, you quit. See, it was coming all along. I didn't think it was coming because I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. Because I didn't see it. Because my senses didn't recognize it, I thought, well, it's not working. It's not coming. It was coming all that time. See, and it's coming. God is working. There's someone on the inside. He's not like Santa Claus just making a list, checking it twice. He is working. Amen. Santa Claus is, you depend on him to bring you something at Christmas. You're going to be in foul condition because he ain't coming. But when you take the promise of God and you paint that vision in your heart and you see yourself walking and talking and praising God without pain, without struggle, and you couple your vision with the promise of God and you begin to worship God, one thing you'll see when you see hope is joy. Hope and joy are cousins. They always walk together. Hope, joy, and patience are listed in the scripture together. And I think we'll go that way maybe next week. But when you see hope, you're going to see joy. You're going to see thanksgiving. Well, if I had any hope, I had any expectation, I'd be real excited about it. I'd probably be excited about it before I had any faith that said it had happened. Just the prospect of getting your need met, you think, phew. You'd be singing and shouting, God is so good. And patience always is willing to wait. And all that time I'm waiting that I think ain't nothing happened, baby. There's someone on the inside and healing is stirring in me. It's beginning to work on the inside. And it's going to come from the inside outside. Let me show you that. Love is your foundation. Hope is built on that foundation. That's your goal, your vision. And then faith is the promise of God. It's the certainty of God's promise. This is your vision or your desire. And all of these work together to bring you what you need. Here you are, a spirit being living in a physical body. The Word of God is spirit. It comes into the human spirit where the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, shows you what it means. And then when your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, you know that word abundance is real important? That means you got to stick with it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. And that's when it begins to work. That's when you'll begin to notice. But all of that time it was working where the Holy Ghost was revealing it to you, showing you what it meant. Now look at Philippians 2:13. Vision is painted by the Word. It's painted by God Himself. Hope thou in God. Scriptures are very clear. Philippians 2:13. I love this verse. It's God that works in you. It's God who's working in you. It's God working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Who's painting the picture in your human spirit? God is working, painting the picture of your healing, painting the picture of you walking, painting the picture of you going all day long without the need of a nap, painting the picture of you sleeping 8 hours at night. Would that be a wonderful thing? I got up one night, 4 a.m. I was tired of laying there. I was still awake, wide awake at 4. And I thought, I'm going to watch TV. I have no idea what's on TV at 4 a.m. I turned on the TV without the sound because I don't want to wake Wayne. We have a rule at our house. Nobody wakes anybody unless the house is on fire. That's the rule. So I'm being very quiet. And I'm watching a program. I actually had seen it before, so it's good. I didn't need any sound. I watched from 4 to 5. And I watched from 5 to 5:30. And it must have been about 5:30 I finally drifted off to sleep. Well, I had a busy day that day, so I tell you what kind of expectation I had. I expected to drive through the day droopy and barely make it to the end. That's the vision I had. Well, I have to repaint. I was in an art gallery. I went because I knew the artist. And I had never met him. I'd seen his picture, but I knew his work. I loved his work. And he was a landscape artist. How many know landscapes are brown, green, and blue? Okay, this was pink and red. His new painting. Right in the front. And I'm staring at it thinking, what in the world? So you got to get God's vision. You got to get, what does God say? What's His vision? His hope. Hope is the vision. What does God expect? What does He want for you? Does He want you to be sick or does He want you to be well? And he came in, the artist, and he said, how do you like the gallery? I said, I love your work. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, ma'am. I said, why is this landscape pink and red? And I will forget his remark. He said, ma'am, that's the way I saw it. He said, ma'am, that's the way I saw it. He's no longer living. Marvelous work. A lot of his work was in a gallery that burned to the ground a few years back. Very sad. I think of that pink and red landscape, and I think, see, now if I'm going to receive that, I got to work on my vision here. I mean, the last time I saw that, trees were green, skies were blue, and dirt was brown. I mean, I thought so. How does God see you? What does God see? What is his hope? What is his expectation? God is working in you. He's painting in you. He's painting a picture. He's painting that picture. He said, do you see yourself? Wayne's little aunt, the last one of her generation, Wayne's mother's sister, just had her 94th birthday. She's cute as a button. Still quite vocal and vibrant. Is that what you see, or do you see yourself limping through life? Can't walk anymore. Someone called me and they said, they're not as old as Wayne and I are, that tells you anything. And they're making plans for when their health deteriorates. I said, well, I listened to all that rubbish. Rubbish! And I said, Wayne and I are planning to support one another. We're planning to live and die together. We're planning to be in this house, helping one another. We're not going to need any assisted living or other special help. Now, I believe in special help. If you need it, God leads in that direction. But I got my faith out there. I'm painting the vision. I'm painting the vision. This is what I want. I want Wayne and Becky Cumby to live together in the faith, reach to the height, the full stature of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, as Lord and Master of their life all the days of their life at 3020 Hardin Cumby Road. That's the vision I'm painting. So what if it doesn't come to pass? Listen, Negative Nelly, what if it does? It won't come to pass if you don't paint it. Amen. Our first house was, the carpet was orange and gold shag. Loved it. Just loved it. We had gold and orange LeMay curtains. Paid a lot of money for my little grandmother who bought everything at Woolworths. Woolsworth, she always said. She said, I bet you pay a lot for those. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, oh! You'll have to have those all the days of your life. You will never be able to replace those. That's not my vision. When I get tired of those, I'm jerking them off the wall, which I did. We found them in the attic the other day in a bag. I'd forgotten all about those things. I'm going to use one of them, I think, to reupholster my bench in the foyer. I think that would be fun. Well, what vision, what are you painting in your life? What are you painting? What picture are you painting? You got to paint with God. You got to let God paint. You got to go with the Word of God and let Him paint. And then once God begins to paint, your vision is clear. You've got to internalize the Word of God, because from the Word of God, faith comes by hearing. So that you have God's promise, God's commitment. You need God's vision, and then you need God's promise. You have to have the commitment of God and the vision of God in order to bring it to pass. And sometimes that takes a little more work. God works in you to will and do of His good pleasure. Now look at 1 Corinthians 2. Wayne was asked, he did architectural drafting and he has refinished furniture. He's very artistic. And some lady wanted two pictures, 8x10s, of clowns for her child's bedroom. Well, Wayne's never painted clowns before. Seems like he could. He thought he could. But he's got to now get from her what her vision is. She obviously had something specific in mind, and so he talked to her at length and did some sketching and some colors because he wants to paint her vision. What does she see when she says clowns? Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about clowns. All I see is the big red nose, you know, and the big shoes. Is that what she wants? You see? Well, what does God want? What is His vision? Have you painted His picture? Sometimes I say, God, I know I don't look like your picture today, but I believe in the picture. Now look at 1 Corinthians 2. It says we have the mind of the Lord. Verse 16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? You have the mind of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's working in you to will and to do of God's pleasure, to give you the mind of the Lord, to paint the vision of the Lord, to give you the vision, the hope, the desire of the Lord, and to give you the promise and commitment. Where there is vision, there's a promise that will bring that vision to pass. And you got to have both. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. You know, and the person says, I just don't think that'll work for me. It won't. Then it won't. It doesn't work in the face of doubt and unbelief. Verse 11, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. This is God speaking. That word thoughts is the word plans, advice, intention, or purpose. God said, I know the purpose, the plan, the intention I have for you. Well, that's what I need to know. That's what I want to know so I can paint that vision in me. What is God's plan for me? What is God's vision for me? See, I didn't know I was a Bible teacher. I didn't have a clue. I was raised in the denominational church. I subbed in Sunday school for Wayne's mother 2 or 3 times. Then they, about a half a year or so, they gave me a class of 6th grade boys. It was torture to my soul. I'm just an 18-year-old kid. I don't know anything. That's all the teaching I'd ever done, and that didn't leave me with, I'd love to be a teacher. That's not what that left me. It didn't happen. So when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, the first lesson that I was in is a Pentecostal spirit, soul, and body. I had no clue. I was blank as a piece of paper. I didn't have any knowledge. See, vision, hope has knowledge, and faith has knowledge. You've got to have knowledge. What is God painting? What does God want for you? What did he promise you? You've got to see it working in you, working through you. Well, a young man that was paralyzed, I don't know why he was, but his church laid hands on him, and his brother took him home that night. That was a Sunday night, and got him ready for bed as usual, and he couldn't walk. Nothing happened. There was nothing by appearance. See, it's not the appearance. It's not by sight. It's by faith in the promise God has spoken. Well, his brother got him up the next morning. He could see there's nothing happened, and he dressed him as usual, rolled him up to the breakfast table, and then helped him clean up and rolled him into the dining room, into the den where he spent the day by himself because everybody else worked. Somebody checked on him periodically, but everybody else came and went, and he stayed there by himself. And he said he spent the whole day saying yesterday, last night, Sunday night they prayed for me and I'm healed. Sunday night they prayed for me and I'm healed. Sunday night they prayed for me and I'm healed. And he came home, his brother came home, undressed him, helped him eat, put him to bed. There's nothing to see. See, what we do, we jump ship. I thought I was healed. I thought God was working. He said, I got up the next morning, which was a Tuesday, and I said, thank God, Sunday night they laid hands on me and I'm healed. The power of God, he says, working mightily in me. It started working in me on Sunday night and I'm healed. Wednesday morning, his brother got him up. There's no change. Faith and hope do not depend on the physical senses. You need to rule that out and mark that off. It is not sensual. It's a promise, and God is working in the spirit on the inside. Well, Wednesday, his brother rolled him into the den after breakfast, have to kind of help him eat, roll him into the den after breakfast, and when his brother came home in the afternoon, he was standing on his feet praising God. He said, well, I thought I felt something in my feet, and he said, I kind of stood up, but I couldn't stand up, but a minute I sat back down. He said, then after a while, I felt something else in my feet, and I stood up, and by afternoon, he's walking everywhere. The senses are the caboose. You can't pull the train with a caboose. It doesn't have enough power. I was in Scotland, use that example. They don't know what a caboose is. Sometimes we're that hard-headed with God. God's painting a picture, and he paints, and he repaints. And I painted, and I told him, you know, the glass car at the end of the train, it's usually red, doesn't have to be red. I mean, I painted every picture I could, and they didn't get it. Don't give God a hard time. Just say, okay, God, I see that. I see that. It says God has plans, purpose, intentions for us. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Sickness is not peaceful, and it's not good. It's the thief that kills, steals, and destroys. To give you an expected end. All the translations. Now listen, it doesn't say an unexpected end. It's an end that God expects for you, to give you the end that God wanted for you, the end that the Word guarantees for you. All the translations, most all of them, I looked it up today. The ERV says to give you hope and a good future. The GW, which is the good news, says to give you a future filled with hope. All the others say to give you hope and a future. Expected in hope. Hope and future. Hope, future. Hope, hope, vision, desire. And you begin to paint with God's paintbrush, the color of healing. And then you begin to couple that vision now you have. I see that when I get up in the morning, I don't have to crank my body out of bed. Saying, oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name, in the name. One gentleman told me he has a considerable curvature of the spine, but lives very well because of the vision he's painted. He's painted a vision. He's painted a vision. He lives very, very well. And when they give him some therapy, they're amazed. They say, you can't even tell. He stands very straight. You can't even tell what trauma he has in his body because he's got God's vision. And therapist after therapist said, I don't know how you're doing that. I do. It's the vision of heaven. It's the expected end. What's the expected end? To live all the days of my life in healing power. Now, what I came to say to you was to remove you, look at Romans 8, from dependency on your physical being, on your senses. Hope and faith are not regulated or moved by the physical senses. Verse 24 of chapter 8. We are saved by hope. Now, this isn't the plan of salvation or the new birth. This is really talking about the redemption of the body when Jesus comes again. It's talking about the rights of believers. We are saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. Can you see instantly? Hope is not visual. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Patience waiting, patient continuance is always coupled with hope. He said, you hope for what you don't see. Hope has nothing to do with what you see or how you feel. Hope has everything to do with the vision that God paints, the colors of heaven. Wayne gets up on farm time. Our children get up on farm time. I do not. And so, because I miss the sunrise, I am not getting up at 5 o'clock to see the sunrise. You can forget it. It's not a vision I'm interested in. Some people are enjoying their ear health. And when you talk to them, they say, you know, my knee's worse today. It was better yesterday. I thought God was working. They have such a sad, bad report. And they keep painting the wrong picture. God paints a picture through His Word, and they take their crayons and their ink, and they paint black and blue over it. But she sends us a picture of sunrise, Suzanne does. 4 or 5 mornings a week. Beautiful sunrise. Beautiful sun. I didn't see it myself. I'm dependent upon her picture. Do you have God's picture? Or are you dependent upon your senses? Because your senses, your physical body, is going to fail. It's not going to give you the right report. It's going to tell you exactly what's happening. Today you're in pain. Today you're not in as much pain as yesterday. You know, I know you've had somebody say, oh, you look so good today. You want to run right to the mirror and think, let me see, how am I looking today? I mean, their vision, your vision. I thought, you know, I know my hair is done. I have a live-in beautician, so that works well for me. Or someone say, oh, I love your new shirt. I'm thinking, this shirt. You don't even know. If that's the kind of vision you have of healing, you won't be healed. You got to know something. You got to know some things. And it's your hope that causes you to be stable. It says hope. Saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. If you can see it, you don't have to hope for it. If you hope for it, it's because you can't see it. You see that, don't you? Now look at 2 Corinthians 5, and let's do the same with faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. The one thing you can know, faith and hope have four things in common. The one thing they have in common is they don't depend upon the senses. Hope does not depend upon the senses. It's not felt. And faith is not felt. Walk by faith. Now look at chapter 4, verse 18. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen, the things which are felt, are going to lead you astray because they're temporary. That's what this verse is going to go on to say. That word look is very... The word look in the scripture in the Greek has numerous meanings. I mean, there are different words for the word look. It depends on what they're looking at. And this particular word means to look at from a distance. To look at from a distance. And say, we look not even from a distance at what we can see. We don't depend on what we can see, how we feel. Not even from here. Now, my vision is not as clear. Wayne is just the last year been wearing glasses. But he and Suzanne are talking about a bird on a fence post years ago. I'm just trying to find the fence post. I mean, I don't have to see it. God sees it. And I say, accept your vision. I accept what you painted in my heart. I accept the colors of heaven. And I believe those colors are going to manifest in my life because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And with my vision, I couple my faith. And then it says there's, you see that word patient waiting? I like instant. Love instant. Don't particularly like instant rice, but then I'm not much of a rice eater anyway. I won't cook my rice. See, we're all different. You like instant rice, you eat it. The one thing we have in common is all the promises apply to everybody. Don't even look from a distance at what is seen, but the things which are not seen. How can you see what's not seen? By faith. By faith in the living God, by faith in his promise. He said, by Jesus' stripes, by the wounds that wounded him, by his bruise you were healed. That word we discussed at length has to do not with the blow, but with the mark that's left because of the blow. It says, by his wounds, and it's also the word bruise. Well, bruise is blood under the skin. It says, by the damage that was done by the blow. The stripe is the damage done by the blow in the scripture, both Old and New Testament. It says, by his stripes, because he received those blows. He was in the house of the former high priest, and the scripture says they hit him with an open hand, like this. Scripture is sometimes very specific, particularly the Greek. And I think that's one reason Jesus came in that era of time. And then they took him to the next high priest, where they use the words that they hit him with their fist, like that. But see, every blow was a step towards death. And then, of course, they took him to the household of Pilate, who commanded his crucifixion, and he was beat with the cat of nine tails, which is a whip with different prongs and glass and clay and different things tied onto each prong so that when they whip that across your back, they can pull the muscle away from the spine, leave the spine exposed. It's very brutal. By those stripes. See, that's what faith says. You are healed. What does your body say? Sicker than a dog. Can't hardly make it. I was tormenting Ashley today. It's my granddaughter. She said her knee hurt. So I went right and got the ice pack. That's because it was on my knee. That's why it was out. And since I'm healed, Ashley, I'll give it to you. God's not against aspirin, ice pack, or anything else. He's against unbelief. He's against dependency on medicine. If you depend upon medicine, you'll live and die sooner than those who depend upon God, usually. You got that right. He's not against your doctor. But when you go to the doctor, you take God with you or you're in trouble. Now look. Look not at things which are seen, things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. Why would we give such concentration to what's temporary? That knee is temporary. That back is temporary. That headache is temporary. Why do you keep looking at it and talking about it when it's so temporary? I'd be talking to it. I'd be saying, I'm so glad you're temporary. I had migraine headaches till I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, age 30, never had another one. It's the most amazing thing. I had migraine, the kind that you weren't trying to live, you were hoping to die. I mean, I don't know if you've ever done migraines, but don't do that. Just don't do it. Well, there were some opportunities where I could sense I'm getting a migraine after that, four or five times over the last 30 years, 40 years. And I have to take my stand. I'd say, no, no, no. See, I'm not going for that picture. A lady on television said, temptation is to sin. Now, we know temptation is not a sin. So Jesus was tempted in all points without sin. He said, temptation is to sin as symptoms are to sickness. And when the symptoms come, if you buy into the symptoms, the sickness is rooted in you. I loved that because I can see that very clearly. And so when the headache began to come, I began to battle with that. I was on my way to the grocery store one day, and I came by the church in the office. I don't know where they all were. Everybody's gone. That was decades ago. I've been here all 34 years. That's how long it was. And there was a man in the flower bed spreading dirt. He's the only body on the planet. So I got out of my car. I said, I want somebody to agree with God's vision. I am not having this. My head says you are. My heart says you are not. Now I got a choice here. He said, ma'am, my hands are filthy. I said, I don't care. So he put his dirty hands on my head and we agreed together and the migraine went away. And I went on about my business. But I had to fight a couple battles to stay clear of migraines. Now when I was young, everybody had the measles. Everybody had the mumps. Everybody had the chicken pox. Everybody had the flu. I mean, you just had it. Everybody had it. We all had it. We didn't have a clue. We had no vision. We didn't know what God said. We thought sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level with the ground. Sometimes sick, sometimes well, sometimes real sick. I had the measles twice. The second time I was 16, my brother gave them to me. Had them twice. He said, you can't have the measles twice. I said, don't tell me you can't have the measles twice. I already did that. But I didn't have any vision. All I knew, all we knew was what was seen. Now look at Matthew. Let's finish quick. Matthew 8. All I knew was what I saw and what I felt. And you know, we go by not what we feel. We go by the neighbor. What the neighbor felt sick. The neighbor felt like they had the flu, so we felt sick with the neighbor. We got it from the neighbor. We just joined in with their vision. Isn't that what we used to do?
That's true.
That's what we used to do. I had chicken pox with two other. I hear my mama talking about it. I don't know who it was, but two or three other children. And this grandmother of one of the children kept all three of us, I believe it was three of us, in her house so everybody else could go to work. We all sat there and had chicken pox together, and we thought, that's what you did. And somebody would come and say, oh, I'm catching a cold. And you say, stay away from me, brother. Stay away from me. I said, devil dog dare you, saying, I'm the healed of the Lord. I began to paint my vision. My nostrils are clear. My sinuses are not throbbing. My throat is not itching. I am the healed of, I'm painting my vision. You see that? And then you take your picture and you get the artist's signature on it. And God signs, Jesus, love Jesus Christ. And once you have the signature, which comes through the word, it doesn't depend on how you feel. It doesn't depend on how you look. It doesn't depend on how your neighbor feels. Don't buy into your neighbor's feeling or somebody at the office. Now look, the storm comes up in the lake. Verse 23, chapter 8. He was entered the ship. His disciples followed him. There rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with waves. In other words, the boat is filling up with water. This story is told in Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, you have an interesting thing that helps us. It says, Jesus said to them, let us go over to the other side. He spoke that word to them. He said, we are going. Now, that's not, that's a huge, huge body of water, miles across. And he had said, let us go to the other side. He lay down and went to sleep. But all they did, instead of heeding the word of God, they began to heed the storm. The disciples came to him, verse 25, and said, Lord, save us, we perish. They said, we're going to die. He's sound asleep. He said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? See, if I'm walking by faith, I'm not moved by the symptoms. I'm not moved by the pain. I'm only moved by going to the other side. Now, you know Peter, Matthew 14, walking on the water. He said, Lord, if it's thou bid me come to thee upon the water. That's in verse 26, chapter 14. Jesus said, be of good cheer, so I be not afraid. Verse 29, he said, come, come. See, once I have the word of the Lord, the word establishes my vision and my faith. Peter should instantly have a vision, and he did have a vision of walking on the water. He had that vision, but he had God's word. So he had faith, he had the vision walking on the water, like Jesus was walking on the water. And he had faith in God's word. Come to me, Peter, come. But then he made the same mistake we all do. He said he saw the wind boisterous. Number one, you can't see the wind. Just point that out to you. He saw the wind boisterous. He began to sink. Number two, you don't begin to sink. You're either in the water or on the water. You're under or on. You don't begin to sink. Sinking takes seconds. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now watch this. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said, oh, you have little faith. What caused his faith to waver? See, his faith had deteriorated. Just like the disciples, their faith in God's promise had deteriorated because they let their body, they let the symptoms, they let the wind and the waves speak to them and say, you're going to die. You're going to drown. If I go by my body, there's been a couple of times you could have buried me in the morning. When I had that pinched nerve, I'm going to tell you, if I hadn't had Wayne Comby to anchor me, and you need somebody to anchor you, I'd have been in trouble. I couldn't walk but so far in that excruciating pain. And then my body began to say, is this the second week? Is this the second month? Is this the third month? You're in excruciating pain. You have healing school today. You're not going to be able to make healing school. Your body begins to speak. It has the loudest, nastiest voice on the market. That's what happened. They must have had faith to start with, or he wouldn't have walked on the water. And says Jesus reached out, so he was real close. It wasn't like he was in any danger, so Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him up. Well, how close can you be to reach out your hand? Jesus didn't come running across the water, so he just reached out his hand, pulled him up. Jesus is here. You're right here. You're beginning to sink. I'm like, what? You're letting your body speak to you in vain. You're going under, and I'm standing right here looking in your eyes. You see that, don't you? I was going to tell you about Abraham, but next week. Now, look, I want to quit with Matthew chapter 8, the centurion. My, I want to tell you about Abraham. Isn't a better example of faith and hope than Abraham? Jesus entered into Capernaum, verse 5. There came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, see, he had been there to see the pain that his servant was in. Obviously, a very dear and beloved person. And he had seen grievously tormented. It means he was sicker than a dog and in tremendous pain. And he said, Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, don't come. Don't come. I'm not worthy y'all should have come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. He said, just say so, Jesus. Just say so. Well, I got a whole book of what he said. He said, I serve the Lord and blesses my bread and water, takes sickness and disease away from me, the number of my days he does fulfill. He sent his word and healed me, not to heal me. He didn't send God to heal you. He sent him and he healed you. The deed is done. By his stripes, by his wounds, I am healed. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15, I think. See, Peter had the word. He turned loose of it. The disciples had the word. They didn't let it guide their decision. They could have gone to the other side. See, what they should have said is, keep rowing, baby. Keep bailing water. We're going to the other side. But they looked at the storm and they said, we're going to die. You know, the devil tells me I'm going to die. I said, well, thank you. Looking forward to it. Then I tell him, I'm not going today. Sorry. I'm not going this week. I'm not going this year. I'm not going in 10 years. I'm not going in 15 years. I can't tell you that I won't go in 20 years. That puts me real close to the, not quite close to Aunt Margie. Precious little lady. She's telling everybody she's 97. And she's 94. And her son, she has five children. They take real good care of her. And her son said, Mama, see, sometimes God sends the soft voice of the Spirit to help us. Oh, thank God that He does. He'll say, Becky, now wait a minute, Becky. They said, Mama, you're only 94. You weigh 97 pounds. She's the sweetest little lady on the face of the earth, I believe. What is God saying to you? What's your vision? You see yourself worse than you were? You see yourself getting worse? You see yourself walking and running, praising God? You see yourself doing well in old age? What do you see? Said, I've already had some ups and downs. Welcome to the group. Said, the centurion, all he said, you just say so, Jesus. Well, I have the word, so just say so, Jesus. He said, I did, you're healed. Oh, we're so grateful, our Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We lay aside our feelings. We lay aside our earthly vision. We lay aside that which is sensual, not based on your word. We go by the word of the living God. We're painting a picture of healing. We are healed. We are well. We live long upon the earth without sickness, without disease. No sickness, no disease can be rooted in my body and maintain its ground. It has to go. The word of God says it so. I declare in Jesus' mighty name, the sickness, the disease in this house to cease being. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.